Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting, confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. With the new Ace line, looking effortlessly sophisticated this fall is easy and comfortable. Stock up on crazy cozy sweatpants, shorts, and sweatshirts that elevate your style. They even have blazers, if you're lucky enough to grab one while they're in stock. Mack Weldon balances classic pieces with updated details to keep you looking sharp, not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made with the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.
All right, so we're live here at Obsidian Entertainment Studios here, and my name is Danny Pena, and today we have
Brandon Adler, game director on The Outer Worlds 2.
Brandon, we haven't done an interview before. This is the first time. Awesome. I know you talked to Paris.
I have talked to Paris before. Yeah, no, this is the first time.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit, what's new with The Outer Worlds 2?
All right, well, with The Outer Worlds 2, we, even before the game shipped, we kind of knew some things we wanted to target in the sequel. One of those things was just bigger worlds. That was kind of the thing that a lot of players really hit us up about. They were like, hey, I just want more. I want more to explore. I want that exploration to feel a little bit stronger. So we did that. We added much larger areas, a lot more stuff to actually go interact with inside of the world. Big, impactful choices. We knew that we wanted to also hit that as well. So we spent a lot of time figuring out how to make your choices feel more important when you're doing all that. And also, you know, things like RPG player build stuff. We spent a lot of time and effort kind of, revamping, our perk system, revamping our flaw system. We've got a lot of new equipment, armors, weapons, science gear, stuff like that. That's really kind of where we put a lot of that effort.
So I played the prologue, I think it was like a month or two ago.
Yeah.
Loved it. Loved the way how it plays and everything compared to the first one. But and I noticed that it's more challenging now too. So when it comes to that, because I love the first one, I played it multiple times, finished it 4 times actually. And how far is it from the first game to this? Like, is it around the same timeline or years later?
We don't get into too much of the timeline stuff. Yeah. I will say it does take place after the first game. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit complicated, but essentially after the first game.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Okay. I just wanted to ask that.
Pretty closely after. It's not too far after. It's, like a decade after.
Same ship?
It's not the same ship.
It's not? Okay, so I thought the whole time was... Okay,
because the ship you get this time is actually, you're part of the Earth Directorate, so it's an Earth Directorate ship that you're bringing over.
Okay, awesome. So why do you guys, because I noticed, that, like I said, it's more challenging than the first one. And I felt like the first one was a little bit too easy. I didn't play the hardest difficulty. Mm-hmm. So how difficult is this one compared to the first one?
I mean, if you just play the normal difficulty, we did want to make the lethality of the characters a little bit higher. Mm-hmm. A little bit more of a challenge on that. But, honestly, if you're able to get through the first one, you're not going to have a problem getting through normal difficulty on this one. And also, even if you wanted to, there's even story mode where you can just kind of drop it down a little bit more if you wanted to. That said, if you start going to the higher difficulties, those get really, really tough. Mm-hmm. And those are for people that... they really want a challenge or they played through a few times.
And what about game mechanics? Like, how different it is than the previous game, too?
We kind of touched everything top to bottom. One of the things that we did before we started the game was really did like a full breakdown of every game mechanic and said, hey, do we want to keep this? Do we want to change this? How do we want to mess with this? I mentioned the flaw system. So we basically redid that top to bottom. Where now... flaws have a lot more to do with playing into whatever play style you're doing. And so we kind of notice, hey, something we've talked about a few different times is overprepared, where if you reload your gun before it gets to an empty clip, and you do that a bunch of times, we notice that, and so we kind of give you the flaw, like, over-prepared if you want to take it. If you do take that, you can get, like, a bigger magazine size, but then you also kind of get the negative aspect where if you ever let it completely run out, you'll get a debuff for, like, 10 seconds. So it's just one of those things where it's like, oh, we can kind of play into your play style, right? So we try to do that with all of our different systems, you know, again, top to bottom. We redid combat, you know, in particular. We spent a lot of time really making sure that the gunplay just felt a lot better, like the moment-to-moment just shooting of things and moving around the world. We had, like, double jump and slide and all of that to just, again, really make it feel like the player has a lot of freedom in the places they're able to go inside of the open world, and the places they're able to just, you know, kind of get around. You know, and then there's obviously the RPG stuff we've been talking about. Like, we spent a lot of time and effort making sure that whatever player build you selected and whatever choices you've been making inside the game, those things show in the world itself. And so you get a lot of interactions with things in the world that really rely heavily on, like, well, how did I build my character? What skills do I have? What perks do I have? You know, even flaws sometimes, backgrounds, those things feature into however you're interacting with various things.
I love, we're going to wrap it up very soon, but I love that playing the prologue alone, I noticed the difference where the choices I make of, like, where I want to go in the game. And there was one area a little bit more easier, and the other one was like, okay, this is a little bit more challenging. And I love that, and I played it multiple times because I just wanted to test it out, and I discovered more things because of the different choices that I made. So that's something that I really like, that you guys made those changes. Like, the first one, I felt like it was more about the story and the relationship with the companions. Mm-hmm. But with this one, even the levels and the area change, it changes a lot with the experience of, like, the choices that you make.
No. Yeah, something that was important to early on was we don't want to have just, like, one way of solving any problem. Mm-hmm. We just wanted to give players, like, look, how do you want to play the game? What's your story? How do you want to take care of this? Mm-hmm. And then we give them the options inside of the levels to go do that. So every player is going to have a different way of approaching any of these problems, any of these quests, any of these points of interest that they're going to. They're all going to, like, kind of maybe approach it in a different way or use different skills or talk to different people. And this really was important to us that we have that.
What are the lessons learned that you guys learned from the first game while working on this one?
I would say that, like, you know, the biggest thing for me is that players want deeper RPGs. I think a lot of time there's the thought, just being in this industry for so long, being in RPGs for so long, it seems like in many cases, we've tried to, like, smooth down the rough edges and, like, streamline things a little bit. And that's fine for some games, but also players just really want to be able to get in there. They want to just be able to, like, get the crunchy number stuff, but also just make all the different types of builds they can. They want all of the RPG options that a lot of times we've been kind of, like, you know, just, again, just kind of slowly removing or streamlining and slimming it down. So I think, again, the big lesson from the first game to the second is, let's give the players those options. Let's give them that stuff to interact with. And I think that they'll be appreciative of that.
And there's more humor?
Yeah, of course.
Way more?
Yeah, well, see, it was cool, right? Because in the first one, we had that corporate humor. But this one, we wanted to expand that. So we still have that corporate humor. You still have Auntie's Choice, which is, like, a combination of you know, two of the corporations from the first game. Mm-hmm. But we also added in two other major factions to deal with the Protectorate, which is, like, an authoritarian regime, which doesn't sound funny, but it's kind of like looking into more of the bureaucracy and, like, how to deal with that and what's funny about that. And then you have, like, the religious order as well, one that's, like, you know, it's science and math is important to them, and so they're very precise, and so we start leaning into the humor of that and how kind of ridiculous that can get as well.
Yeah. So one thing that I noticed while playing this game, I was trying to rush.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. And I noticed that conversation I have with people, it doesn't open up. Like, they might say, no, I don't want to talk to you based because I didn't increase my speech or,
sure,
you know.
Yeah.
So any tips on that? There's probably going to be people that are just going to rush, you know, compared to, like, the first game.
Yeah.
It's a lot more difficult now going through different areas because of that, too. You can't rush in this one at all.
Yeah, I would say that, like, you know, if you kind of know everywhere you're going and all the stuff, you might be able to just, you know, go straight through the game, beeline it, and just do critical paths. But I think most people, they're going to want to just kind of really explore everything. That's where you can kind of gear up, mm-hmm. make sure you level up and actually put some of those skills, you know, you skill up into things like, well, depending on whatever you're doing, maybe it's guns, maybe it's speech, like you're saying. But even there's the, you know, it's funny you kind of mention that, because We don't just rely straight on speech in a lot of these conversations or things you're dealing with, especially like the important conversations you're trying to like get somebody to help you or try to get past them or things like that. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's based on what did you find in the world, other people you talk to, information that you've picked up. Like that'll come up in those conversations, and you might even have all of the skills, like the really high leadership or the really high speech skills, but without that critical information, you're not even able to really talk about it. So I would say that like for anybody that's maybe having a little bit of trouble kind of getting through it, you know, hey man, you can always take a step back, always just more to explore, check out different places. That'll really kind of help you as you're just going through.
Is it also based on doing a lot of the side quests to build all those perks too?
Yeah, I mean,
and the speeches and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, just, you know, just in general, when you, the more you play, the more experience you're going to get, and you're going to be able to build your character out more. But again, even things like your weapons, your armors, your science gear, stuff like that. Even gadgets, like in the very beginning in Paradise Island, the very first region, there's areas where they're completely optional that have important things for you, like the double jump or the shield gadget that can help you like block damage and things like that. So exploring is always good because you're always going to get some really, you know, just get goodies out of it that you can use for later on. A lot of that stuff is in some cases even core to a build if you want to make a certain build.
Yeah, well, what are the advice for those that are creating their character for the first time, you know, for them to start? What like advice, like perks or anything like that? Like,
I mean, my whole thing,
your experience from your,
you know. I mean, my whole thing is, you know, you don't even have to take guns to be good at combat, right? Like that seems counterintuitive. You'd be like, yeah, I need to take guns or melee. We've made the game in such a way that no matter how you're building out your character, as long as you lean into those kinds of builds, you can actually be pretty effective in combat situations or in other scenarios, right? Like, again, some of that's counterintuitive, but like, let's say I just want to make a science build, right? And so I lean heavy into science and maybe engineering and stuff like that. Well, engineering is going to help you on your defensive stuff because you can build up defenses, so you can get like damage resist, other things like that. Mm-hmm. Science itself, while it's not going to do, you know, straight up damage, it actually augments a lot of the damage types that you're doing, so like shock or plasma, because when you apply those to various enemies, it builds up on them, and then when it hits a certain threshold, it pops and it does like a big status effect. Mm-hmm. And when you're doing science, those status effects are stronger and they happen more often, so you can kind of build yourself in a way that you're still highly effective in combat, but then that also means you need to be finding gear that applies those kinds of debuffs and things like that. So the biggest thing is just make sure, like, when you pick a lane, you stick to that lane and kind of really find out what works for you.
I noticed also leadership. What is the difference between that one and other ones too?
Yeah,
is that so like, more speech? Or?
Yeah, so I mean, it's the same type of, same style of skill as something like a speech. Speech is almost always just going to be used inside of conversation work. But leadership, that's actually good for your companions, right? So if you build up on leadership, that actually pumps up your companion health and the companion damage that they're doing. And it also opens up certain perks that are more leadership focused. So things like being able to resurrect your companions at range, or them even being able to like do things where if they go down in combat, you get more health or things like that. So, everything is good for them.
Yeah, because I thought it was more of like leadership. Like I'm in the town and, you know.
Well, you can do that sometimes too. Like sometimes in conversations, if you have leadership, you'll be able to go in there and say something and people will listen to you because you're a higher leader.
Awesome.
They kind of go hand in hand sometimes.
Yeah. What other recommendations too from the other ones too from there that you think people should check out that is new? Was it similar?
We have a lot of the similar things. We actually pared down a lot of the skills because we wanted them to be kind of be more impactful. But I mean, I just like playing a professor type build sometimes. So I'll just like take like science and medical and engineering a lot. And like, again, I what I really enjoy with something like that is, you know, with something like medical, for example, you can start using your inhaler more often. You'll crash less, like so you'll be more effective. You'll be able to heal more and also have more effects that you can add to those things. So yeah, I don't know, man. However people want to play it, there's always going to be something good for them.
Is there any negative also using those perks too that will affect your characters? And
well, mostly the perks are positive, but like they do change the play style sometimes. But the bigger thing is like flaws. So if you take flaws, those are typically things that that can have a negative effect but also give you a positive effect. You know, so we have like the overprepared thing that I was talking about earlier, but, we have like, I think 30 or 40 flaws around there that you can take for your character. So again, those things are really good when you want to build out a certain way, you know, my current playthrough that I'm doing right now, it's like a stealth build. And so I'm kind of sneaking all the time. And so because I'm sneaking all the time on my knees, like crawling over, I got the bad knees flaw. And what that does is...
I have the same one too.
Yeah. So when you stand up, I mean, your knees crack and everybody around you will like turn around and hear you. So you have to be very careful about when you're popping up out of stealth and when you're stealthing. But it gives you big bonuses to your sneak attack damage and your stealth skills and stuff like that. So,
But I also upgraded Ninja. Is that... could help too.
Yeah. Ninja's cool. Yeah. I like Ninja because it's actually really good for just being evasive and like damage will miss you. So when you're running around the battlefield quickly, it's really good for that. I like Ninja a lot.
So right now I noticed I try to upgrade speech.
Yeah.
And I only could do it up to 2. Mm. Is there a reason why I can't go higher than that? Is it because I have
it's just
to
your
level up?
Yeah, it's level your level. Okay. Once you get your level a little bit higher, it's basically capped towards that. So the higher you're able to level your overall level, the higher you can bring those skills up. Now, if you're specialized in skills, you can actually even go two higher than that.
Perfect. Yeah, because I was struggling. I was like, man, am I doing something wrong? And then I noticed... had a lot of side quests, tasks, and things.
Yeah, if you complete those, man, you'll be able to get more and be able to build that up.
Awesome. What is your favorite part on you and your team working on this project for you personally?
I mean, this is the first time I've been a game director on a major project. I've done game direction before on DLCs, in particular for Pillars of Eternity, Deadfire. I was working on those. But this is kind of the first time I've had a larger project to be able to work on. And so... for me, it's been, again, I think kind of looking back towards old Obsidian games and the style of game we used to do a lot and kind of just, all right, well, how can we bring that back to the forefront? You know, modernize it a little bit, but really get back to the sensibilities of, you know, really strong RPG that really focuses on, you know, player agency and player choice and the consequences of those things and just making sure that all of our content really leans into that. Like that's been the thing that's been a lot of fun for me.
Yeah. You don't have to answer this question or not, but
all right.
I remember playing the first Outer Worlds on the original Switch. Mm. Loved it. It was a little slow, but I finished it. Are we going to see anything, maybe opportunities in the future, maybe on the Switch too? Or could I can see this on.
I mean, we haven't announced anything, but anything is possible, right? I mean, we are going to be on handhelds, other handhelds. So
that's true.
There's a pathway there.
That's true. And why should people should pick up this game.
If they want more of that old school RPG flavor and they want like a bigger and better version of the Outer Worlds 1, like if you love the Outer Worlds 1, you're going to love the Outer Worlds 2. We didn't change the formula. We just kind of built on top of that and made everything a lot stronger. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I would pick it up. So again, if you love the Outer Worlds 1, I know you're going to love the Outer Worlds 2.
Awesome. Well, congrats to you guys. Been having a blast. Can't wait to continue the story and hopefully I could upgrade my speech.
There you go.
I love that you guys worked on released 3 projects now this year. All 3 of them very, very different. And I love that it doesn't feel the same. So it's always a different experience playing your game. So I got to give you guys a lot of props on that, man.
Well, thanks.
I love about Grounded is amazing too. And I can't wait to play Outer Worlds too pretty soon.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so congrats.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.